Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Fifty takes, and that was the best one. Actually, that one wasn't bad. I had a one that was better than that, but I kind of cleared my throat right before and microphone called it. And yeah, after 2 hours of trying to eliminate that one little hiccup, I just did the talking crusty bit. Okay, we're back this week, and we've been planning on doing this show for a while, and, you know, to do the Turtles thing, I need to get refreshed on it. Like, you know, we played the games, we watched the movies, we watched way too much of that fucking 80s cartoon.
I say we didn't watch enough.
Yeah, well, I got lymphoma, so what do you say to that?
I said that's your own little problem. I'm just mad that I can't find my fourth DVD set that has the Shredder, when Shredder thinks he's Michelangelo.
Now, the thing is, as going through childhood into teenhood and later into sad, sad adulthood, you kind of progress from Ninja Turtles to Power Rangers, because Power Rangers kind of had that, you know, bang, zoom action. Now, I remember, I don't know, did you get to see the sneak peek of Power Rangers back in 92 or 93?
No, I believe we kind of talked about this, but on the podcast, there was kind of a time where it's like, oh, we're not going to watch that. That's way too kiddy and stupid.
Well, what happened was they put a sneak preview on right after X-Men. Now, if you don't remember, X-Men emulated comics of the day by being consistently late.
Don't you mean they only had, like, 13 episodes and just reran them over and over and over again until you had to wait, like, 6 months
for
the next 13?
Well, it took forever to get those 13... Well, yeah, but it also took forever to get those 13 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but anyway, 1 week they say, we have a special show called Power Rangers. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this show. I mean, it did look pretty cheap just because they had the set, they didn't have any money, and the Japanese footage isn't cleaned up at all. But I'm watching it. Now, the episode they used for the preview is the Pudgy Pig episode. Now, if you don't like Power Rangers, you probably think they're all bad, but even if you like this stuff, that's a bad episode.
It's not even a good monster. Really dumb-looking monster.
I mean, well, it had a good premise, but it's something that you use later on when you understand what the monsters normally look like. I think Finster stepped on the mold or something. I can't remember. I haven't rewatched this episode. I haven't rewatched this episode in, like, since it aired. I might have watched it once, but anyway, this pig shows up, it goes around eating all the food at a food festival they were having, and I'm watching, I'm thinking, this is the worst goddamn thing I've ever watched. I'm sure as fuck not going to start a religion to it in my later years. I mean, it doesn't have the Megazord.
It doesn't?
It doesn't have any, no, it doesn't. They throw spicy food in his mouth and make him explode. And I'm thinking, I'm never watching this shit. And it came
now,
up,
do we
want to
say, do we want to say how it was for basically growing up in about 5th grade to 6th grade, how it was?
Well, let me get there.
Okay,
do you remember when Power Rangers first came on that it was on at 7:30 in the morning?
Yes.
Okay, so that meant that in Decatur, we didn't really get to see it because we had to be off to school.
I think it was bad because for some of our schools, you had to get even before 8 o'clock. And where I lived... And where I had to go to, basically, we had to leave at about 7:30 to begin with.
Right, that's what happened with me, you know. I remember when I got to high school, they said you had to be there even earlier, and I was like, the hell with that? I just showed up when I felt like it. I said, that's the time I'm accustomed to, that's the time I'm showing up. Okay, so nothing really changed, but then they started doing previews, and I remember I'd see this in the afternoon watching Eat the Cat or some shit. They had a Green Ranger, and I'm, for some reason, you mentioned an evil twin of a superhero, and I'm like, oh, shit.
That was a style.
You know, so I'm like, man, I got to see this. So I stay up one day. I somehow manage it. It might have been I can't remember. I must have been sick or something, or I beat somebody up, or I had one of my little episodes. I saw the episode. I was like, you know, this is pretty cool. Because, you know, they actually had the robots and stuff. And eventually, during the summer, they moved it to the afternoons. It was that popular.
Well, I remember, I was sick one time and actually had to sit and watch it. And it was the episode where it had, like, it was the turtle that had, like, the baseball bat and the catcher's mitt and the stop sign on its back. And it shot Yellow Ranger to make it constantly where she had to keep going and running in place. I think it's
That was the one that was actually the first Green Ranger episode as a good guy. And, okay, here's something I want to mention about the show. Now, recently, because, you know, I got to take this crap way too far, I've been watching the Japanese version. And the good thing about Sentai is you could usually watch it on raw episodes without subtitles.
Most of them, at least.
Yeah, usually. I've watched a lot of Zoo Ranger recently, and I can tell you, this show would have been a pain in the ass to make it to a Power Ranger season later on when they knew what they were doing. Like, you know, later on how they had it down to a science?
Well, they had it streamlined. They actually had money
Zoo Ranger... Huh?
Nothing.
No, Zoo Ranger would have been a pain in the ass. I mean, it's a...
You
want
to try to explain Zoo Ranger for those who don't know?
Okay, Zoo Ranger in Japan, I think it means Dino Force or something.
I think it means kind of like prehistoric.
In Japan, the Rangers were 5 cavemen. Not quite cavemen, but they were ancient tribes, and they were frozen. Or something like that. They were put in, you know, time room. You know, they were frozen, basically. And they come out and they have to fight an evil witch named Bandora, who was a cave woman from the time. And the 5 cavemen were given powers by Dinozor robot gods.
Yeah, they live in the clouds. Actually, when you watch it, there's a lot of stuff they took out from the American version.
Right. And, I mean, I think this stuff's awesome. I'm not saying this to be ironic or whatever. I mean, I legit think it's awesome.
The thing about that we talked like about how it was for people at school, how they basically denied that they even liked this show.
Okay, well, by season 2, everybody's watching it. Everybody's watching it. It's like, at that point, it's like masturbating. There are people who do it and liars.
Didn't you say that it was? You couldn't find a kid. People would not admit to watching the show, but you couldn't find anyone outside at around 4:30 to 5?
Yeah, it'd be like this. Somebody'd say, you watch Power Rangers? Like, hell no, I don't watch that stupid shit. And then 4:30, you can't find nobody. And I remember when there was a really big episode, we'd all be dying to talk about it, but nobody would.
No one wanted to break the ice or broach the subject, feared that they'd be outed.
And then the movie came out. And you go to the movie theater, and you see people you know in school, and you act like you don't see each other. It's like you go and you see your neighbor at a pornography theater that you're going for the same reason. You know, so you just don't say nothing. You go back to back, and you don't say nothing. Zordon, I'm ready!
Well, I remember Samurai Pizza Cast, just to get a little bit of other something that Saban did. For some reason, Saban or Fox Kid was not able to promote Samurai Pizza Cats as being anything but terrible. But when you've actually finally watched one at about 6:30 on Saturday mornings, if you actually get up that early, you figure, this is actually kind of funny and interesting to watch. You don't tell anyone, but it wasn't quite as big as a thing as Power Rangers was.
Well, I didn't actually see Samurai Pizza Cats for a long time. I remember it was on its syndication at 5:30.
What was it, like on CBS or something by that point?
No, it was on Fox 54. What happened, and I remember the first time I saw Samurai Pizza Cat, do you remember Masked Rider? They tried to do it as a big spinoff, and Saban just shit the bed.
Yeah.
Like, they took away anything that you would have enjoyed about it, and they didn't even do the stuff that worked with Power Rangers. You know, they were doing this orchestral shit that sounded like John Williams taking a shit.
Do you want to do the type of do you want to do your impersonation of the music, how it became around Lost Galaxy or so?
Ba-ba-ba-ba, it's Power Rangers in space.
It's very terrible MIDI orchestra. Someone got one of those Casio systems in the sound booth and just kind of like...
Yeah, Lost Galaxy at least had a tune to it. Ron Wasserman, the man that did the music on Power Rangers, the first three seasons, which the music on the show was good because it had these rock beats, you know, really fast paced. You know, it got you hyped up for the fights because, you know, Power Rangers is a TV sugar rush. And, you know, Lost Galaxy was like, you know, the later era as far as the music goes, that was like granola trying to make kids think they're doing something healthy. Neil, I think we got a caller.
Let me check. And we do.
All right, go ahead and patch him in.
And patch.
Okay, caller.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Eric.
Power Rangers.
Yeah, we're at the point talking about the music.
Yes.
And later on, I don't know how long you stuck around, but by the time of late season Turbo, they were doing this, like I was saying, they were doing this orchestral shit.
Yeah, I pretty much ended with Turbo.
Yeah,
saw Power Rangers in Space.
Yeah, I kept up till I think I kept watching till it disappeared from Fox. I wouldn't watch it. I wasn't watching it hardcore on Saturday mornings, but if I'd been up all night or something, I'd watch it. Ron Wasserman had this interesting thing because a few years ago, Mystic Force, because Ron Wasserman went back to Disney to do the theme song for SPD, and he submitted a song for Mystic Force. And it was pretty good, and they ended up going with the rap theme. And Ron Wasserman explained the problem with doing rap themes or country or orchestral. He said the thing is that rock music, shitty rock music is better than shitty forms of other music.
That is a good point.
Like, it's hard, it's really, it's like, if you could, it's easier to mess up a rap theme song than you can a rock or butt rock. So, I mean, he knows this, but he said Disney was mad because he leaked one of the early versions, one of the themes he did, that he leaked it early on the internet, and Disney got mad about it.
Yes. I like the Go Green Ranger song.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only Power Ranger
like
has
I mean,
music.
I haven't listened to that shit. That'd pump you up.
Yes.
Power Rangers, even though it basically started in Japan, the Super Sentai, it actually has been dubbed and ported over back to Japan. And Power Rangers, even the music's kind of have a little bit of a following because one of the main headliners for the group called Jam Project that does a lot of anime themes for like robot shows or so, he basically did his own rock cover of the Go-Go Power Rangers theme.
Well, you know, Ron Wasserman met Eddie Van Halen one time. And Eddie Van Halen's kids love Power Rangers, and Eddie Van Halen asked him, he said, how do you do that guitar riff? Because he kept trying to get it, and Ron Wasserman said that really embarrassed him because he was ripping off Van Halen when he wrote it. I'm into season 3 right now, and like I said, I think season 3 really turns the corner when it becomes a show about a struggling family-owned business.
Yeah, I know. Lloyd said Rita.
Actually, Zed and Rita seem to be like almost Venture Brothers villains on a cosmic scale. You know, they're
trying
to
experiencing Rita Repulsa just talking like Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah. The problem was in season 3 is that the villains became much more likable than the heroes.
Yeah, well, to me, and also one thing they did in season 3 was the Rangers got their asses kicked almost every day.
Is this before they became kids?
Yeah, like they lost Ninja War, they lost the Falcon Zord, Kimberly had her power coin stolen.
I know that from YouTube. It seems like they changed the opening theme in season 3 like 5 times or 6. The opening montage.
Well,
like,
there's so a
montage
of
Kimberly leaving the show.
Well, one thing I think the show was having a little bit of a rating slump in season 3 because season 2 was terrible. Like, season 2 will have its moments every now and again, but in general, it was terrible before Rita came back, and they filmed the movie. Because you'll notice with the new actors that they're acting, and I know people try to say, you know, acting, but you understand, these shows have their own rhythm about them.
It would also be that Die Ranger wasn't that good.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons season 2 wasn't good, you know, the way they got rid of the original cast, but after they filmed the movie, you could tell the actors were a lot better.
That is so memorable, the way they got rid of Zach, Trini, and Jason, just
he's
by having them disappear and have people dub their voices.
And Trini had an... You can finish. Well, the person dubbing... The person dubbing Trini was very, very racist.
Do you think
back
Jason,
in those days, we couldn't figure out what's going on.
Jason.
Okay, the guy doing Zach, you remember Zach's cousin on the show?
Yes.
He was the one dubbing Zach, so he didn't sound at all. And I felt bad for the actor dubbing Zach, because you know that he had to think that he was going to be getting the job replacing him. But anyway, he didn't sound too bad, and I didn't even, you probably wouldn't even notice if you didn't know to look for him, but Trini's like this. Oh no! What's that? He has sent he's made the monster grow! We must get to Megazord! Jason sounds like he's borderline retarded.
Well, that's not a change.
It's like, no, he'd be like this! Red Dragon!
Speaking of Zach, should we mention what happened back in Decatur about a couple years ago?
Yeah, we had an anime convention in Decatur, and normally I don't go to conventions, especially in Alabama, because your stuff gets stolen and there's nobody famous. But Persicon in Decatur had the guy that played Zach, Walter Jones. And I was so damn excited, because, you know, before I die, I want to meet one of the original Power Rangers.
We tried to, but we couldn't find him. And the problem is that we technically were browsing without paying to go in, so we're only in there for, like, 10 to 15 minutes, but you met Cal Hebert.
Yeah.
We weren't able to find Walter Jones.
Okay, but anyway, we were looking for him. We didn't go on Sunday, and it turned out he got arrested for drunk driving. Which, I don't think he do it. I think he committed the crime of being black and famous in Alabama.
Well, technically, he wasn't in Decatur at the time. He was on the interstate near the airport. So
he was in
the county over, but still...
I don't know how that turned out, but they said he was really nice. They said he was signing autographs with Polly at the Huntsville station. But, you know, going into it, we tried to watch some of the later... last year, I watched every season up to Magic Four, or Mystic Force, and I couldn't get four episodes in. I had to tap out.
Magic Ranger, what Mystic Force is based on, is pretty good, but I'm pretty sure that Disney basically just mucked it up terribly.
The thing I've always heard is that when Disney bought Power Rangers, they regretted it immediately because they found out parents thought it was too violent. Disney's been trying to get into the teenage boys market, or the, you know, the boy in general.
Well,
they used
to be able to have an all-ages type of thing, but for some reason they decided to... shipped all the way pretty much to all girls shows like Hilary Duff and Miley Cyrus and
Power Rangers.
Raven.
And they put a lot of energy into it, and they sent them down there. They sent them to New Zealand so they could have non-union actors.
The Disney way.
Yeah.
Magic Ranger was the first season where even Japan was basically doing everything in New Zealand.
Right,
because
Disney was getting funded. Disney was interfering, from what I remember, you know, because God knows, you know, I had to find out the dirt on this. Disney apparently was interfering right after Ninja Storm, because Ninja Storm actually did pretty well in ratings. And then Dino Thunder was doing pretty good when they brought back Tommy.
Yeah, that's the only later show I've seen a couple episodes of, because, you know, Tommy was there.
Right,
and
he was doing pretty good, but then all of a sudden, Disney said, you can't have an evil ranger. Then they said, oh, you can't do a romantic subplot. So what happened was they made the White Ranger become a good guy, but most of the Alba Ranger footage still had an evil White Ranger. So they had to do this bit where they made a clone. And then Disney sold back to Haim Saban, and Haim Saban said he's probably the smartest man in entertainment. He outsmarted Disney. He sold out to Disney in 2001, made a ton of money from it. Disney set up a production company in New Zealand, built up about 200 more episodes. Then he bought it back for less than he paid for it, with the new studio and channel in place.
Haim Saban, you diabolical!
Apparently, they are going to do the Gokaiger next year. Eric, do you know what that's about?
No.
It's a pirate-themed Power Rangers. But that's not the biggest part about
it. Ghost Hydra was last year's Sentai, and it was the big anniversary season. So they had every single Sentai team show up in every episode. So apparently they're going to do that next year on Nickelodeon in place of the other show because they want to do a 20-year anniversary.
So they're going to try to get some of the old actors?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure they are.
One of the things about the Gokaiju show is that they themselves had old actors from the old series show up because most of the powers that the Gokaiju team had was to basically, they had keys and little figurines that they would plug in so they would gain the powers of classic enemies and classic Sentai. Be like, okay, we need, let's see, here's Zoo Ranger. Okay, for this fight, we need to have, Go-Go 5 or something.
Yeah, just depending on what the episode. And then later on, they started doing episodes with the old actors showing up. And apparently, they're open to it because on Power Rangers Samurai, which I've been watching with kids, and I've enjoyed it because it felt like it's a lot better what Disney was doing near the end. But they brought back the guy to play Wild Force Red to play one of the bad guys. So, Eric, we only got about 8 minutes left. I was going to ask you, what did you think of this week's Dallas?
I liked it. It was interesting to see Cliff Barnes is, old and stuff, and he's pretty old.
When JR came in and started fighting with Cliff Barnes, do you remember the episode of Simpsons with creator of Itchy and Scratchy?
Yeah.
And do you remember when he was sitting at the dinner table and he started arguing with Grandpa and
they're going to argue over taking to the CS.
And then later, it's like Marge tells Homer, says, one of them has to go, and Homer goes, okay, Grandpa. And I pictured Bobby's wife going, Bobby, one of them has to go, and Bobby just smiles, okay, JR. What's that bit at the... What were you going to say?
Yeah, but sometimes, Larry, you can tell the difference between Hagman and Duffy, even though I guess Terrence looks trying to be a little bit weak, like, and after Cliff left and JR is like, Barnes is here to take over South Fork. And Bobby's like, let's go bass fishing. It sounds like it's someone with his elderly father.
Yeah. It's funny, yeah, because the age difference wasn't that noticeable back in the early years.
Yeah.
What was it? Now, did Bobby find out what JR was pulling at the end of the episode? Because I had a kid, I had a screaming 3-year-old.
Well, he knows that. He's aware that JR is planning something that they made John Ross. That he's in it. With John Ross, showing them Miss Shelley's diary and stuff. He knows he's in on it because he knows that's what JR is. That he knows that.
One thing I was thinking about JR is, I feel like that it's slightly out of character for him to use Miss Ellie's diary like that.
Maybe, yes.
Then again, I feel like he'd be a little more protective of her memory than that, but again, you can kind of, so much stuff has happened. I did like JR using the other old man to pretend to be a doctor.
Yes.
JR's machinations around the old folks' home.
This reminds me, not better, but it reminds me of him being in the crazy house, which you haven't actually seen yet.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I tell you, Larry Hagman could do a good being committed acting.
Yeah.
Like, he really goes over the top with it. Like, he doesn't hold anything back. His attitude is, when am I going to get to do this again? So when he's
doing like
Dale like,
was in that episode, that late episode of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
When they had to figure out a way to get him from the local psychiatric ward to the state one. So he's acting up as much as he can while they had Cypress Hills and Same Kind of Membrane playing.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, the best part was the show was obviously the start with JR shaving John Ross.
Oh, yeah, that was really, that was like an all-time, that was an iconic moment.
Yes, JR's story about Jock.
And telling him how he sold him a blind horse. And it's funny, like, you could see why JR would resent the hell out of Gary and Bobby. Though, oddly, he doesn't resent Bobby as much.
Yeah, so I always found out that was interesting. Let's find out more of the background between JR and Gary, and how come JR just hates him so much compared to Bobby.
The thing is, I get the feeling that Gary was so much of a fuck-up, and that the fact that I think it's because Bobby at least proved worthy of their love. While Gary was such a damn fuck-up, yet still Miss Ellie doted on him.
Yeah, because it's interesting that they had all those years together. I mean, how much, I don't know how old Gary is than Bobby. I mean, the actor's age is only like 5 years apart, but I don't know. But there were still the years where JR was actually was around with Gary before Bobby was around, obviously, and it's interesting how he just seems to didn't care about him as much.
Yeah, I remember the only time JR said anything good about Gary was he mentioned it one time, and this is like a very long, this is like a very near early episode, he mentioned the fact that he did have plans for Gary, but Gary just fucked them all up. Maybe that's it. Maybe in JR's mind, he always pictured Gary being his right-hand man, and Gary just let him down at every turn.
Yeah.
I liked in the Dream Season episode when John Ross is telling JR, it's like, you know, you still have Uncle Gary and Uncle Ray, and JR's all, oh, fuck Ray and Gary.
Yeah, so that is seen the next season where JR tells Bobby, you're as dumb as any son of my daddy could be, except for Ray and Gary.
It's like his hostility towards Ray I've never understood. You know, because the thing about it is, he antagonized Ray, and there was no reason to. Ray generally liked him originally.
I guess he didn't like that Ray symbolizes Jack cheating on his mother, even though he cheats on his wife all the time.
And also, I think it's because of the fact that Ray really emasculated him in that one episode when he beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it occurred to me, you know, Ray fucked JR's wife first.
And nobody knows that.
Yeah, that's funny. That's like a big secret that no one actually is aware of.
Hell, on Teen Angst in the 90s, they even cut out that scene.
What, they did?
Yeah, pretty sure they did.
So it might not have actually happened.
They're so quick.
I did like Ray's last scene on the old show when he was leaving, and, you know, and him and JR actually had a good laugh together about chasing pussy together.
Yeah, more or less, yes.
To me, that was so much better than Ray's actual finale when he was kind of ran out on a rail.
Yes, he cheated on Jenna, then he got stabbed.
Then he got stabbed, and I honestly think that Dallas was doing this on purpose. You know, making you not miss the old characters by putting them in storylines that were just excruciating.
Yes, that's like one of the few times that Ray had like the ending freeze frame when he got stabbed.
Oh, yeah. I remember back in season 3 that it felt like JR was hogging the freeze frame at the end.
JR and Buffy always hog the freeze frame.
Yeah, I remember eventually Cliff got one. So, are you playing that Rise to Power game?
No, not yet.
I'm trying to figure out if I should go with Ray, with Bobby or JR, because I feel like I'll be more successful with Bobby, but I'll have more fun with JR.
Yeah. So I think
that you, Neil?
Show.
Yeah, I hit something. Sorry. All
right, time to go.
That's right, we only got about a minute left anyway.
No, we have about 20 seconds. All right, Eric, well, I was glad to have you here. I think we actually had our first legitimately good show in a long time.
Okay, cool.
I think we'll get at least 3 listeners.
Yeah, maybe 4.
All right, good night.
All right, bye.